Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
So that's in the introduction. I'd like to just introduce myself as well. By now, you hear the accent. You're wondering, you're trying to fit it, right? Where is this coming from? Well, it's from my mother. I was raised in communist Czechoslovakia in a home of a communist father and a mother who was newly baptized in the Adventist Church. So you have this woman on fire for God who shares the faith in a communist country, and you have this father who does not want religion in the home. And you figure, you know, seven children, and we're all in the church. So the Lord is good. I'd like to pray before we dive into God's Word. Father in heaven, Lord, we join with the believers from around the world. And as I think about this 24 time zones, that means that every hour for 24 hours, there is a church worshiping you. And Lord, we are joining the rest of the world, realizing that some who cannot worship in freedom. We praise you and we thank you for the freedom you have given us this far. And I just pray that we will not neglect to appreciate it right now. For next Sabbath is not guaranteed that we can worship in freedom again. But Lord, as we open your word, I pray that you will speak to each one of us. I pray that you will take every distraction away. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will, as he's promised to be our teacher, he will do just that for us. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to go right away into the scripture. The First Kings, we'll be looking in the book of First Kings, chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "And Elijah, the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word.'" This is God speaking through Elijah. It is God's word saying there will not be rain for the next few years. "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.'" So God is planning to withhold the natural resources, the rain, from coming down. And then he says, "I'm going to take care of you, Elijah." And the way that God decided to take care of Elijah was to use a brook called Cherith and a bird called Raven. Now, as I read this, I'm fascinated by God's method of providing for God's people. He doesn't say, "Go by the river Jordan, where different brooks are coming in and there's more water. I want you to go to a place with a little water. And then I'm going to use a bird, an unclean bird, a bird that's known to be selfish." You see, they don't really take care of the little ones. Place with little water, and a bird that's selfish. That's where I want you to go, and I will take care of you through them. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. So he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Should we be surprised? If you go to a place with a little water, soon there will be no water. And of course, for Elijah, that could be a reason to question God's call and leading. But you know, once you learn how God leads, you just keep going. But God had a solution for him. And then he says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying," verse 9, "Arise, go to Zarephath, Now, I'm not sure exactly how Elijah felt about this. Jeriphath was a hometown of Jezebel. Now, there was an arch enemy of Elijah. That was Jezebel. Jezebel hated Elijah. In fact, if there was one person controlling the kingdom, it was Jezebel. You know, Ahab, yes, was the king, but really, Jezebel had the energy to fight against God's man. And so God says, go to Zarephath, the hometown of Jezebel. That's the place where I will take care of you, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. God tells Elijah to go to a place with little water called the brook Cherith. I will use ravens, the selfish birds, to feed you. And when you run out of that, when the supplies run out, then I want you to go to a place called Zarephath, the hometown of Jezebel, and I'm going to use widow, not a rich person, but a poor person, a Gentile, who will take care of you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get it. He called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Verse 12, so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Now imagine this. God told him that this woman will take care of him, and now she's telling him, I don't have bread. She says, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare for myself and my son, that we may eat it, and die. Is it possible that God was just simply wrong? Are there times when God tells you to do something and you say, okay, I'm going to do it, and then you face some challenges and you say, I'm sure that was not God who was leading? Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. And then it says, for thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now you notice when she was speaking, she says, your God. But when he's speaking now, he says, Lord God of Israel, the triumph, the word Israel means triumphant with God. When you're with God, you triumph. For thus says the Lord of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. God sent Elijah to honor that woman. God will ask us to do things that just will not make sense. You know, I remember my mom telling me about she was talking to her pastor one day about tithing, returning faithful tithe. And he says, you know, your husband is not a Christian. So there's only 50% of the household is Christian. So what you should do, you should take the income that you get, split it in half, and return faithful tithe on the 50% of that. Now, she could not find it in the Bible anywhere. And so she continued to return faithful tithe 100% of the income. You know, God asks us to do things that just don't make sense. Imagine somebody losing a job, why would God want for them to still return tithe when they don't have enough? But just like that widow, things will not make always sense. And rather for God to take care of me than for me to take care of myself one day. I remember a close relative once told me that he could not afford to pay tithe. And as he was entering the retirement and the economy was going south, I feared for him, because it's better for God to take care of him during retirement than for him to take care of himself. What do you say? Verse 16, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. And we move on in this story. And verse 18 now, we're moving on. And there is, Ahab is now looking for water. And verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55, and I want to just share a little bit about how God's word works. We'll be going back to the story, but we're now looking at Isaiah 55. And I will be, as you are turning your page, I will begin to read verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. I'm sure you have heard the scripture before. This is for my, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. In other words, the way God functions is different from ours. The way we think is different from the way God thinks. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Don't expect that every time I speak to you, it will make sense, because I think so much broader and so much higher than you can ever think. That's what God is speaking. And then he begins to explain. And it says in verse 10, for as the rain comes down and the snow from the heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he begins to explain a thought. He says, just like the rain comes down and it waters the seed and the plant begins to grow, and then your harvest, and the result is a bread on the table. Just like the water goes down and will not come back to heaven till it will accomplish that, till that seed that is planted will produce the bread that is on the table. Just like that, he says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper the thing for which I send it. In other words, when God says the sky is purple, God's word goes on the mission and will not come back to him till sky is purple. Because there's power in God's word. If I say the sky is purple, you look at me and say you're crazy. And you're right. My words have no power. But God's word, his promises have power, and it will go on the mission and will not come back till it will accomplish what it was sent to, meant to be accomplished with. And so we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, and God says, just like he said, there's no going to be rain. There was no rain. Now God says, I'm sending rain again on this earth. That's what will happen again, because God said so. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 2, and it says, so Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. You know, when God tells us something, it still requires faith. If Elijah would look at his app on his phone, weather app, and check the weather for the last 3.5 years, he would report no rain, just sunny, no clouds, no sign of rain coming. And then God comes and says, the rain is coming. And Elijah picks up his phone, you understand what I'm saying, and look at the forecast for the next 10 days, and it says, no cloudy, just sunny, no rain. And then he would look at the forecast for the next month and he would say, there's no rain coming. And the forecast for the next year, and it says, no rain coming. But God says the rain is coming. And now, what do you do with that? Do you trust the experience or do you trust what God says? Verse 3, and says, and Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly and began to look for water. Verse 7, now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, is that you, my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, it is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. And Obadiah did not like what Elijah was saying. He says, verse 9, so he said, how have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Elijah to kill me? He says, please don't ask me this thing. But he listens to him. And finally, verse 16, it says, so Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Now imagine this, if you're speaking with a king or a president, and the president says, is that you that brings the trouble on the nation? And of course, Elijah has God's word behind him. He's so confident in what God is calling him to do. And he says, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. And from there, they go to the Mount Carmel. You know, we need to stay in God's Word. We must expect that there will be apostasy in our church. And if we are not careful, the apostasy will come to our homes as well. You know, we really don't realize that we are really in apostasy till we start checking with God's Word. Amen? You know, a friend of mine was talking to me about how he was in this one church outside of Michigan. And he says, I have a health condition where I need to eat. Otherwise, you know, I won't be doing well, functioning well. And so the church service ended, and he was asking if there is potluck. And they said, no, there's no potluck. And so the pastor said, you know, I'll take care of you. Follow me. The pastor said that. And then he followed him, and then they ended up in a restaurant. He says, I'm not used to this. They went out to eat on Sabbath. The pastor did. And I hope we'll just never get used to that. You know, there's some things we just don't do on Sabbath. It's time to spend with God, and God tells us specifically not to hire people to work for us on Sabbath. And so Elijah is telling Ahab, you know, you have left the Lord. You have forsaken God's word. And so they went to the Mount Carmel, and you know the story. I'm going to move through that and now go. This comes after the Mount Carmel experience. Verse 41, chapter 18. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Praise God. He must have seen some clouds. That's why he's saying it. Amen? I mean, there must be some physical evidence, or is it just God's word? Is he saying that because he saw that, or because simply going on what God said? So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Now, obviously Ahab believed what Elijah said. It makes me wonder sometimes when we share with people, do people actually believe because we share with so much confidence? You know, God's word can change your life. Really? Are you really? Do you really believe it? The way you say it, does it really show that you really believe it? So Ahab, verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now, look forward towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." So here we see that it was not that Elijah saw some clouds. That's why he told Elijah the rain is coming. He was still going off of what God said. And so Elijah said, "Ahab, get ready. There's a major storm coming." And then he went on his knees, began to pray, sent his servant. And I can just imagine that the servant was walking a little distance. And then he looked towards the sea. And he came back and he says, "There's nothing." And so Elijah keeps praying. And then he sends the servant off, and he comes back and he says, "No, there's nothing. There's just blue sky. It's sunny. There's nothing. There's no indication the rain is coming." And so Elijah prays, and then he goes, sends him off third time, and he comes back and saying, "No, there's nothing there." And he prays more the fourth time and the fifth time, and he sends him off the sixth time and goes off. And the servant comes back and says, "There's nothing." And Elijah just stops praying and just realizes God was just not true. God didn't know what he was talking about. Imagine if that was the conclusion of the story. How many times we stop praying right before God is able and willing, or he's able, but he's ready to do something amazing for us. I just wonder about that. How many opportunities we have lost because we have quit too early. We have asked somebody if they want to study the Bible once and twice, but the third time they were ready and we just didn't ask. Middle of the verse 43, so he said, went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." There's an acronym, PUSH. Pray until something happens. And I wonder what would happen to our churches. I wonder what would happen to our families. I wonder what would happen to us if we would pray until something would happen. We would claim God's promises and not let God go till he answered. Then it came to pass, verse 44, the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." All Elijah needed was just a small cloud like a man's hand. If we would really pay attention and see how God works, we would see that we have many evidences of the small hands, of the cloud like a small hand. We really don't need too much evidence. If God works in small things, he will work in big things as well. Now, there's a quote I'm going to share with you. This is from the chapter that talks about this experience. And it says, "Faith such as this is needed in the world today, faith that will lay hold on the promises of God's word and refuse to let go until heaven hears." I just love that quote. We need to come to God and refuse to let go until heaven hears. I'm going to share with you one of my favorite story about literature work. There was a woman, this is my closing story. There was a woman German woman lived in Portugal. So for those who can imagine the European map now, okay, she's on the west side of Europe. She lives in Portugal, and now she's traveling to Germany to visit some friends. And on the way to Germany, she called her friend and says, you know, it's the Great Controversy Project time. The General Conference was doing that in 2012. And she said, I want to be part of it. So when I get to Germany, can you set aside for me a few copies of the Great Controversy. Okay. When she arrived, her friend gave her a box of 50 Great Controversies. She asked a few. He gave her 50. Of course, the first thought that came to her mind was, what is he thinking? But the second thought was, I wonder how God will use this. And so she put in her car and she visited with people. And then it was time for her to go back to Portugal. And now as she's traveling through Germany, approaching the border of Switzerland, there is a traffic jam. One of those mega jams where people are getting out of the cars and they're talking to each other. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like there's no point of sitting in the car. You know, we're not going anywhere. And so she began to think, what should I do with my time? And then she remembered, I had my Sabbath school lesson and my Bible with me. So she opened her Bible and she put it on the dashboard and she began to study her lesson. And it was a few moments later, a young man walked up to her and says, can I ask you what you're reading? He says, yeah, I'm reading this lesson and it talks about how Jesus will return one day. He said, I've never heard of this before. Like, where do you get this from? She says, it's in the Bible. Really? Can you show me in the Bible where it says that Jesus is returning? So she began to show him different scriptures about how the promises that Jesus gave us that he's coming back. He thanked her for the information and was now walking back in his car. And that's when she remembered, I have those books in my car. So she quickly called him back and says, Ken, I'd like to give you a book that will tell you more about this. He thanked her for the information and for the book and was now going back in his car. But God was not finished working yet. As he sat back in his car, began to tell his wife about this experience, and she too wanted to know more about this Jesus coming back. And so she walked up to Our Lady to learn more about this Jesus who's coming back. They began to talk. Other people began to be curious about what they were talking about, so they began to gather around. And in that article it says, by the time there were a few dozen of people gathered around her car, she finally got out of her car so they can hear her better. And then she told them about this Jesus from the Bible. She also said, you know, I have a book that will tell you more about it. And she gave them a copy of the Great Controversy. By the time she was done giving those books away, she had only 3 copies left. They all thanked her for the information and for the book, and they went back to their cars, but God was still not finished working yet. It was moments later when they heard a sound from above. It was a police helicopter flying above and landing on the grass very close to where she was parked. One of the policemen walked out and he began to explain to the people gathering around him. He says, the highway patrol team has been monitoring the satellite images of the highway, and they've noticed a large gathering of people on the highway, and they assume there is a medical emergency, so we have been dispatched to respond to that. The audience, the people who just listened to the lady and the explanation about this Jesus who's coming back, explained to him that the reason why they gathered is because of this woman who told them about this Jesus, and they said, there's a book that will tell you more about this. He said, you know, I'd like to get the copy of the book and 2 more for my friends in the helicopter. 3 copies. By this time, she is done, but God was still not finished working yet. As you can only imagine, the presence of the helicopter attracted many, many more people. They wanted to know what the helicopter was doing here. And they were told about this woman. They were told about this Jesus and about this book called The Great Controversy that will tell them more about this Jesus. By now she was out. She didn't have any more copies. But she said, if you give me your address, I will mail you a copy of the book. And then she collected many more addresses. You know, God is not finished working yet. And so my prayer today is to realize that God is not working. If God is not finished working yet, we're not finished working. Amen? And so today as you walk out, and I don't know exactly what you have, if you have any literature that you can take home with you, but you have glow tracks. I know you have glow tracks. Take glow tracks with you this week. Take them with you everywhere you go. And just hold those glow tracks. And you just say, Lord, I just wonder how you will use them this week. And pray until something happens. What do you say? Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.